two places this morning. Please turn to two places with me. Luke 18, put a marker in Luke 18. We'll get to that in a second. Flip over to Ephesians 1. We're going to talk about prayer. Man, I have kind of broke this thing down and looked at this. Okay, Paul, who's a bigwig in Scripture. You got Christ, and you got Paul, who's given us half the books of the New Testament. Man, he has written a ton. Man, we should see what he has to say about how he prays for the local church. We're going to see how he prayed for the local church at Ephesus. We're going to see how he prayed for the local church at Philippi. We're going to see how he prayed for the local church at Colossae. We're going to see how he prayed for the saints, to the church of those in Thessalonica. And we're going to see this. Man, I'm telling you, after today, you can't walk out of this place and say, well, I just don't know what to pray. Okay, we've got to get so past the Cheerios prayer. We've got to get so past the breakfast due, I'm done, awesome, and get on with my day. It is time to dig our heels in and get serious on our face before God. I mean, my routine is to get up as early as possible, to spend as much time with God as possible, on my face, on my couch, Bible open, crying out to God in praise, being amazed by Him, coming to a place to pray for my family, come to a place to pray for the team, come to a place to pray for this church, come to a place to pray for individuals who are hurting in this church day after day after day. I can't wait to get to my couch. I can't wait to get up early to spend time with God. Gang, it is time. It is time for us to dig our heels in and be on purpose in our time of prayer. That we have, listen, we have the ability to communicate with the creator of the universe. We have ability to cry out and be amazed at the King who came in a bloodbath, put himself on a cross as a warrior for us, that we would be saved, that we would come before him and be amazed by him and cry out to him. Gang, it is intense when you see it. When we're done today, you can't say, well, I don't know what to pray. I'm going to give you some serious words to pray and how to pray. We're going to see it this morning. Let's just ask God to speak to us. Father, thank you. Thank you for our time of giving to you and worship. Father, please, as we've come, God, I'm asking that this be a word, not in word only, but God, it would be something in power by your Holy Spirit with full conviction. God, we're not here to play games. God, we're here to do business. We're here to walk out different and change from when we came in this place. We're here to experience the one true living God and to acknowledge you and to worship you and to praise you and to honor you. And God, we're here to hear from you today. God, speak to us, please. We come, God, with an eye to see what you would have us to see this morning. God, we come with an ear to hear what you would speak to us today. We come, Father, with our hearts wide open to respond to what you say. Folks, if you would ask God to speak to you this morning, God, speak to me today. Just ask him. Say, God, cry out. God, speak to me. God, I need to hear from you today. God, I need to hear from you today. Speak to my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's see what Paul says as he writes this letter to the local church at Ephesus. Verse 18, Ephesians 1, 18 says this. This is what Paul says. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know, man, this word know, it's a deep word, that you would have the deepest understanding to a place of knowledge. This is where it is, that you would have the deepest understanding, that you would know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of the inheritance and the saints. And this word glory, this that you would know, listen, look, this is great. When you understand this word glory, there's so much that is so built up in the midst of this word. This word glory, it means his excellence, his majesty, his power, his authority, his dignity, his honor, that we come to a place to recognize that he is brilliant and he is radiant. And this, all this word, glory, that we come to this place, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now look at this. And what is the surpassing greatness? Now you're going to see some things. We go through these passages. You're going to notice when Paul prays, he writes this letter, he writes a letter to Philippi, he writes a letter to Colossae, he writes the letter to the Thessalonians, and he writes a lot of his time in prayer is the same. He prays that they would have a worthy walk. Local church to local church to local church to local church. He prays that they would know the very power and the authority of God. Folks, when's the last time you prayed for his power? I mean, his power, his authority. Not to get a car, not to get a house, not some foolishness, but I'm saying that you're doing business in the kingdom of God. You're advancing his kingdom with everything you've got, and it takes his authority, and it takes his power. We have got to get past these self-centered prayers. Oh, God, give me this, give me that. God, give me this. Okay, thanks for the Cheerios. God, I need this. And we come to a place, as Paul prayed, God, that we would know your power. God, that we would walk worthy. God, that we would have a love. And God, that our faith would increase. What about that prayer? Because that's how he prayed for church after church after church after church. And he wrote it down for us. Look at this, verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us? God, we need your power. God, we need your authority. And it would be towards us who believe. These are the in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Now look at this, Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. He comes to a place to pray. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of what? The riches of his excellence, the riches of his glory, the riches of his majesty, the riches of his power, the riches of his brilliance, the riches of his honor. This is what glory means. To be strengthened with what? With power. Again, here it is. Again, he rewrites this to the church at Ephesus, that God, we would be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Gang, when you understand, when you come to know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Bible says the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, comes and dwells and remains within you. And in that, there is authority. In that, when you recognize that the Spirit of God dwells and remains within me, within the inner man, that's the inner part, the heart, the soul, where you are, everything from the inside, that's where the Spirit of God dwells. And in that, there's power. Again, we've got to tap into this. We've got to recognize it is time to pray on purpose, and it is time to pray with a purpose, recognizing who we are in Christ, recognizing that God by his Spirit dwells within us, and in that we can be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, look at this. Every time you see a so that, highlight it, man, parenthesis it, put something around it so that you know something very important is coming after so that. Now get this. We want to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that, why? So that Christ might dwell in your hearts through what? Through faith. You're going to see, man, are you crying out to God for your faith? You're crying out to God. Faith means forsaking all. I trust him. God, good, bad, highs, lows, valleys, mountaintops, best days, worst days. God, my faith is intact and I will trust you. Gang, that comes through times of prayer. That comes through Paul on his face before the Father, praying for the saints, praying for the church, that they would know faith and that you being rooted and grounded in love. And he also, over and over, he prays for love. Rooted and grounded. And this is foundation. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the height, and the depth. And to know, to have that deep understanding. To go so deep that I know, I am convinced, I have such a knowledge of this that nobody can persuade me otherwise. That's what he prays for. What is it that we are to have such an understanding about that no one could persuade you? No one could take out this. What is it that you may know? The love of Christ. Why is it that we talk about the love of Christ so much? Because he talks about his love so much. And he had his writers of the word talk about his love so much so that it is so deeply ingrained within our hearts that we always will know his love for us. And what? The surpassing knowledge that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now look at this. God, gang, that we would come to a place to cry out on purpose our prayers for strength, for power, for faith, for love. And then you come to verse 20, probably the most famous verse in Ephesians 3. And you look at this, verse 20. Now to him who is able, this is talking about prayer, to him, that's God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. That's prayer, according to the power, there it is again, that works within us. Okay, I'm amazed by this. I read this over and over and I notice this. Now to him, could it have said this? Now to him who is able to do all that we ask or think. When you know we're talking about God, to him who is able to do all that we ask or think according to his work, according to that power, according to that authority. But then look at what he says though. Now to him, just to get it into our hearts, man. Now to him who is able to do far more. I think to him who is able to do all would have been sufficient. To do far more. abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power or the authority that works within us. King, do you pray like that? Do you know that you come before the Father, and you know that you come before Him and make petition to Him, that in that, listen, in that, the Bible says, when we are crying out to Him, He leans in. The Bible says He inclines His ear. That means God leans in. The Creator of the universe leans in to hear what I have to say. That's not because He's deaf. It's not because He's hard of hearing. It's not because He's got so many requests. It shows Him towards me. That's what it shows. It's amazing. When I see that, when I come to you, God, far more abundantly beyond all that I ask or think, in contents with strength and power, with faith and love. Then He says this, to Him. Why is all of this? Why does He mention this about prayer? Why is it so serious? Because it's always about Him. To Him be the glory. To Him would be magnified. To Him would be majestic. To Him would be brilliant. To Him would be radiant. To Him in all His authority. It's always about Him, folks. Look at this. To Him in the glory, in the church. It's not talking about, now the church is not talking about all the bodies in the whole, all the believers in the whole world. It's talking about this word church. It means the assembly of believers or the congregation. And this, He's writing this to a local church. And amazing. And we come together. We cry out to Him. We do it expecting power and authority. With love and understanding what it says, that it is about His glory to the church in Christ Jesus. Now get this, please highlight this, to all generations forever and ever. To all generations forever and ever. Okay, when I read something like this, you know who I think of? My family. I think of my kids. If the Lord would tarry, I think of their kids, and I think of my grandkids, and I think about the great. And man, I think we have such a weak sense. Well, it's getting so dark out there. I've heard people say, it's getting so dark out there, I don't know if I want to have children. Again, when we recognize that greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world, when we recognize no weapon formed against me will prosper, we recognize that Jesus is above all, we recognize who really is in charge and His control, we recognize that my family, Carter, Olivia, and Ethan, in the darkness that they're growing up in, they can be the light, they can be strong, they can be bold, they can win the lost, they can walk into a place because of their time with Him, recognizing who God is, that far above and beyond all that we ask or think, forever and ever, to every generation. Gang, please hear this. There was a time when it was so much darker than this that God flooded the whole earth and killed everything in it because of sin. So I'm thinking that we're going to be okay. I'm thinking that the Bible says it is, even from this day forward, going to get worse. But when we get on our face, who is it that we're crying out to recognize that God is absolutely in control? God will cover my family. And I recognize covering my family in the blood of the Lamb, because the blood of the Lamb has overcome him, the enemy, by the word of our testimony. And we recognize what it is that God is absolutely and always will be from generation to generation, forever and forever in control, because He is God. Can we give Him thanks for that, please? Come on. Yes. Yes. Gang, how is it that you cry out for your kids? Or do you just seriously cower in a corner because we're so concerned about it being so dark? Or do we rise up to say forever and ever, amen, that's His prayer. That His power and His authority and His love and faith will be to generation, forever and ever. Gang, how is it that you pray for your kids? How is it that you pray for your grandkids? Are you serious about prayer? Are you serious? Recognizing God is and always will be in absolute, complete, total control, because He is God of all. And I have absolutely no concern of how dark it gets. When you understand that we are called to be a city on a hill, when you understand in your personal life you are called to be light and salt, you understand when you raise your kids in a home that recognize the authority and the power of God, and we will set a pattern on how we pray. Do you recognize that the darker it gets, the lighter you will shine? You will have more and more and more and more opportunity to see God work in amazing, miraculous, incredible ways. The darker it gets, the brighter He gets, because we are the ones who are the light. Do you understand that, folks? Never shy away or be all so concerned or worried about how dark it gets. Let's understand who we belong to and the one we cry out to in our time of prayer. Look at this. Come on. Go to Philippians, please. Philippians 1, verse 9. This is real simple. Again, this is what Paul says. Philippians 1, 9. We're going to just kind of go to a couple of these books. He says this, "And this I pray, that your love may abound." Again, part of his prayer is about love. This is to a different local church. "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more." Wouldn't it be amazing in this church? Again, I've said it earlier today that, man, people walk in this place and just sense something. People walk in this place and understand this is a place that cares, that is sincere, that is authentic, that is not self-centered. It is a place that does love. I've heard that over and over. Man, from my first entrance in this place, I felt love in this place. Wouldn't it be amazing if we would cry out to God, God, that we would be that place, that our love would still abound. And this word abound, it means above and beyond. It means in abundance, folks. Wouldn't it be amazing if those who are hurting and broken and lost and desperate would come through these doors and then recognize that the love that is in this place, and it means abound, which also means more than enough. Wouldn't it be incredible if they come in this place, say, "This love in this place is more than enough for me. And my hurt, my brokenness, me being lost, they love me enough to tell me the truth about Jesus and sin and redemption. They love me enough to tell me the truth about what the Bible says about sin." It'd be amazing. Folks, please, man, we are begging God for those who are hurt and are lost. We're begging God for those who are broken. We're begging God for marriages to be repaired. People walk through these doors because God in us, and we have cried out to God with high expectation that God's love in this place would abound. It would be more than enough. When God comes in their lives and flips their world, that they begin to walk, that they have a testimony to say, "Man, the people of God had more love for me than I could take, because it was so overflowing." That's what he prays for the local church. Gang, that's who we need to be. That's who we need to be. Come on, look at Colossians, please. Colossians 1. I speak this over my personal family. Day after day after day. Okay, this is what my Nana, you've heard me talk about my Nana. This is my mom's mom, such an amazing, amazing spiritual woman who is long gone, be with the Lord, alive in heaven, worshiping and praising. It's just amazing to know. But man, at 9 years old, she started preaching this. 9 years old in the 20s. At 13, she was from Pittsburgh, got on a train. They sent her to Seattle. 13 to preach convention after convention. This, God, listen, God had such a call in her life just to speak truth. And man, even in her old age, we had the opportunity to be able to see her preach and go and listen to her. Man, she was intense. I mean, like intense. And when I was born, man, 45 years ago, I was this little peanut, 4 pounds. And man, you know, everybody all concerned, like, "Wow, he's so light." And they would put me in that silly bubble with the heat lamp so I could grow. I'm telling you, my Nana was just concerned. And I started doing push-ups in that little crib. Started to grow a little bit. I don't need this heat lamp no more. It was always great. But there was a concern. When I got older, she told me what she prayed for me. "Son, I prayed for you that you would be so real. God would be so real to you that God would come alive in your heart. And she says, I saw you as this little peanut, not knowing if you're going to make it. And man, I'm telling you what, she just began to cry out to God, God, that you would do a work in him. God, that you would reveal yourself to him. God, that you would be so real to him. And she told me, Sean, Colossians 1, 9, this is what I prayed for you. Well, Paul prayed for the church, for the saints at Colossae. She says this, verse 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, so that, highlight that. Why? That you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. God, that Sean would walk in a manner worthy of you. That Sean would please you in all respects. Everything he thinks, everything he says, everything he does, God, it would be pleasing to you. And this is Paul talking about faith, because in Hebrews 11, 6, it says it is impossible to please God without faith. It mentions power, love, faith, worthy walk, over and over and over to the church, to the saints. God, that he would have such faith that he would please you in all that he does. That's my Nana praying for me. God, that Sean would bear fruit in every good work. And that he would increase in your knowledge. Gang, it's amazing that God put himself on page for us. Everything we need to know about God is right. He wrote it down for us that we may know him. What an amazing God of all creation that we may know him so much so that he wrote it all down for us right here from old to new, all about Jesus, all about sin, all about redemption, all about his love, all about how he has repaired man, everything so that we may know him and increase. Gang, how do you increase in the knowledge of God right here? This is what Paul is praying. This is what he's crying out for the church. God, that they may know you. God, they'll go deep in you. They'll have a deeper understanding of who you are. And he's writing down these words for us to read them today, to know God on a deeper level. That an increase in the knowledge of God, and he'd be strengthened. Here it is again. Strengthened with all power. Okay, when's the last time you prayed for power? When's the last time you dug your faith in? In our time of prayer, the last time you talked about increasing and abounding in your love and recognizing what it is to walk in a worthy manner of him, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining, get this, for the attaining of all steadfastness, patiently, joyously giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now get this, one of my favorite verses in Scripture, verse 13, and he rescued us from the domain of darkness. I love that. He rescued us from the gang. This is a war. This was a battle. This was an aggressive move. This was seriously an aggressive move on God's part to send his son that had to go to battle, had to go to war, had to shed his blood. Man, it was a battle so much so that there was bloodshed and it cost him his life. For what reason? Look at this. It transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. Powerful. This is what Paul's praying. Gang, will we pray on purpose this year? Will we have a purpose to our prayer? Will we get up early so we can spend more time with God? Or are we just going to do the whole Cheerios thing? I think that's good enough. Or are we going to seriously get before the Creator of the universe and recognize the amazing rescue mission that he sent for us? And in that, there is faith. In that, there is power. In the Spirit of God who dwells within me. And in that our love would abound. Over and over and over. Come on, 2 Thessalonians, please. We don't have much time. I just want to put it up on the screen. I want you to see it. It says this. To this end also we pray for you always. This is Paul again. For to this end also, we pray for you always. Again, hear it again and again. That God will count you worthy of your calling to fulfill every desire and goodness and the work of faith with power. Gang, listen, this is so real. When we come before God, say, God, I'm crying out to you. God, you can do all things. Nothing is impossible with you. God, that we would advance your kingdom. God, that we would not be ashamed. God, look at what you could you imagine if teenagers and college students, we are so blessed here at Believers Chapel to honestly to have over 100 college students when they're in session week after week after week. We're getting Christmas cards from parents who are so pumped that their college students are coming to church here. And they're going back talking about what God is doing in their lives, that they would come to a place to understand what it is to be unashamed. Teenagers in a place to understand what it is to be so bold, spending time with God, asking God for his power and his authority, to recognize that darkness has no hold on them, and they will be the light, and they will be the salt, and they can go in every direction in all of that influence and be the one that brings light and not be ashamed, and to be bold to do the work of God as a teenager. Gang, that is powerful. Are we asking God for that? Come on, are we really praying God's power and his authority in our lives and in our kids' lives? Or do we just not have time for that? Come on, Luke 18, please. I don't know where me being intense actually comes from, but maybe Nana. But it's all true. Look at this, is Jesus. And he gives him a parable to make a serious point. Look at this, Luke 18:1. And now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times, folks, it means all times, your best, your worst, when there's confusion, hurt, pain, when there's mystery, when there's that which is understood, and then there is that which I just can't understand, the highest, the lowest. Best season of life, most difficult season of life. At all times that they ought to pray and not lose heart. No matter what season of life we're in, Jesus calls us to pray. And in us crying out to the Father, we are to never give up. We're to never give up. It goes into the story about this unrighteous judge who did not respect God, did not respect man. But yet this widow would come, and she would come, and she would come, and she would come, and just pester and pester and pester until finally the judge gave in to what she was requesting only because she was a pain. And Jesus says this. It's amazing. Verse 7. Verse 6 says this. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long? Listen, Jesus is saying, listen, God is not like the unrighteous, unjust, uncaring judge. He is God who is just, who is righteous, and is love. And if you come to him again and again and again, and you do not lose heart, we can be assured that his timing is always perfect, folks. He will not delay. He will not delay. He will not delay. Listen, there are seasons in life that we just don't know the answer. There are seasons in life that are just mysteries and hurt and pain and some things we just don't understand. But he says they ought to pray and they ought to not lose heart. To know God is perfect and his timing is perfect and his purposes are perfect. And in that, that is faith. That's a faith builder. Man, we are so on time. Come on, please. Verse 8 says this. And I will tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. And he says, this is an amazing statement by Christ. However, when the Son of Man comes, talk about himself. When I return, will I find faith on the earth? That's what a question. He's talking about prayer. He's talking about never giving up. He's talking about never losing heart. And when I return, man, I put myself here. When I return, will I find Sean in faith? When I return, will I find the people of Believers Chapel in faith? Will they trust? Will they walk in faith? Will they cry out to me and believe? Will they cry out to me and have expectation? When I return, am I going to find faith on the earth? Am I going to find that people? Am I going to find those who have prayed and have never lost heart. That's amazing what Jesus says here. Amazing. Folks, we come to a place, how serious do we take prayer? How serious do we take prayer? Do we pray for a little bit and then give up? Do we only pray for a season and then stop? Or do we pray and not lose heart? Knowing God will answer. And knowing that in all of this, best days, worst days, He will find me in faith. Well, let's bow our heads, please. I need all the husbands to look at me, please. You got to give me 3 minutes, please. Because there's another part of this that's quite intense. We are a church who so cares about marriage, so cares about your home being full of love, joy, and peace, not at war, not at confusion. But your home would be full of the authority, the power, faith, love in your home. There's times I think that we cry out to God as husbands or as men, and it just feels like it's not getting past the ceiling. God, what is going on? Why is it that, God, you're not hearing my cry? What is it, God, that's hindering me? God, why does it feel like it's not getting past the ceiling? And I see this verse where it deals with husbands and wives. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 3:7. Please hear this. Husbands, get this. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as someone weaker since she is a woman. Understand your wives. This is talking about a wrestling match. It's talking about her tender and her being fragile. This is talking about if you arm wrestle, you should win. That's what it's talking about. But you need to understand that she's fragile. You have to understand that you need to be tender and that you need to be soft. You got to understand there is a tough and there's a tender. I will be tough against anyone who comes against my home. I will stand at the door and guard everything God has given me and my family, and it will be tough. It'll be a bloodbath, folks. I will be tough against the enemy when he comes knocking. But when it comes to Renee, I will be tender. We'll recognize that she is fragile. Because sometimes that tough goes right into being harsh, even to the ones we love. And then it says this, and you are to show her honor. That's huge. You will know her value. You will show it to her. She will understand how valuable she is to you. You will show her honor, her value, her worth. She will know that she is your crown. She will know that she is your victory. She will know that you celebrate her privately and publicly. She will know that you have put her far above jewels because of her worth and because of her value. This is amazing. Don't miss this. It says this. So that your prayers will not be hindered. So that your prayers will not be hindered. Maybe you're crying out to God and you know, man, there's a cap. God, why is that blocked there? Why is it not? God, why are you not responding? God, why do I feel like this didn't even make it to the heavens? God, what is that hinder? God, what is that block? Husbands, does your wife know her value and her worth? Not because you said it at the altar on that day you married her. I'm saying you show. It is a continuous pattern over and over and over. There is absolutely no question, no doubt how much you honor and value your wife. Why is that so vital? God honors unity, folks. He honors a husband and wife being one. And in that, man, that ceiling will be lifted. You will go again to God and feel like there is now this direct line to heaven. Because you've understood what it is to understand your wife and treat her in a godly way. And recognize what it is to honor her. It's what God says. So that your prayers will not be hindered. Man, as Brennan sings this song, man, what has God said to you today? Seriously, how do you respond to this message? How is it that you go into 2015? Say, God, I will be on purpose. Man, this year, God, I will be on purpose. I will be intent. God, I will be very intentional in my time with you. God, I'll go through Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3. I'll go through, God, Philippians 1. God, I'll go through Colossians 1. God, I'll go through 2 Thessalonians 1. God, I'll see it. God, I have so much to pray. I've got so much to cry out to you for. God, it'll be on purpose. God, I will cover my home. I will cover my family. God, I'll cover my teens. God, I'll go to battle on my face before you for that which you have given me over and over, day after day. And God, I'll come and I'll come and I'll come and I'll not give up and I won't lose heart and I'll come again. God, I'll get punched in the face. God, I'll come again. I will not lose heart. The enemy will come and I'll come again and I will not lose heart. Gang, that is doing war. That is doing battle. No more Cheerio prayers. No more God bless our breakfast and move on. No more God give me a new car, God give me a new house. God, it's time to do battle. It's time to reach this region. It's time to understand those who are hurting and broken and lost. God, repair and restore marriage. That's powerful. That's powerful. God, I do have a need financially that you would meet it. That's powerful. Husbands, if you seriously need to go to your wife, honey, forgive me. Honey, I repent. Man, I recognize I've not treated you with an understanding that I'm to be tender and soft towards you. Man, I have not shown you honor. I'm telling you, you will see that direct line reopen right to the Father. Wouldn't you say that that's worth it? Wouldn't you say that that's worth it? Come on, as Brennan sings, man, I want you to respond to this. If anybody does need prayer, Ryan will pray for you in a little bit, but if anyone else just does need prayer, we'd love to spend time praying for you. Come on, let's stand to our feet, please.